All right. PKN 509. We were just talking about guns and hunting and such before the show. Wondered, Kyle, he brought up hunting. Is there a world where you save money hunting? Like, I can tell you fishing,
oh, yeah.
It's 100%. Pretty unlikely. I think the most expensive fish you'll ever eat are the ones you've caught.
I disagree on that part too. I think, okay. Look, it's about how you go about doing either thing. So you can go and get a, what's it called? A Zebco 303 or whatever at the gas station, the cheapest rod they make, a $25 rod, and just some basic shit. And you could go feed yourself. Now, if you go get a bass boat and 15 rod, I have friends who competitively bass fish throughout childhood and into adulthood. And it's, oh my God, it's $50,000 this and a $38,000 that. And I'm going to need 20 different rods, each geared up for specific scenarios. They don't bring one rod and change tackle. They got
five digits. That's adorable. They should get into offshore stuff.
Each thing is, you know, like, and it's, but if you are subsistence fishing, like, you just need a rod, right? And tackle and stuff. And so,
if you're in the right place, like a net, probably. Like, I think that's, if you're a villager off Hawaii or something, you probably fish with a net, question mark.
I made fish traps as a kid. See, with all you need is like string and chicken wire, and you sort of make this cylinder out of chicken wire, and one end's capped off and the other is a funnel turned in. So you can imagine with the funnel turned in, it ends with the pokey chicken wire ends sort of meshed together.
I guess is the travel too. Like, if you live where the fish are, you know, if you're on the edge of the ocean or someplace with good fishing, that's one thing. But like, if you're a fly fisherman, I doubt you're saving money with those trout you bring back. You know,
I mean, if you're subsistence hunting or
fishing. A flight to Alaska alone wiped out any profit I would have made.
Like, the only people who would subsistence hunt or fish are people who are near that stuff. Like, I personally know multiple people who get like two or three deer every season, and then the vast majority of the meat they're eating just like week to week is deer throughout the year. Like, they get so much that they're like giving it away to people. So like, so maybe that's a Midwest
frame of reference for what deer's worth and what they spent getting it. Cause I imagine I'm not a hunter. I do have a license to kill, but I haven't actually done it yet. I could spend a lot getting the full costume, the expensive rifle and the scope that would let me shoot from 3 miles away unnecessarily, most likely. I can just imagine all the fucking potions I put on myself to smell like a deer in heat. I don't know. But you could probably do it cheaper and make a profit.
I always just assume deer are everywhere like they are here in the Midwest. I'm sure in Georgia it's everywhere. Like that. In North Carolina it's probably like that. Like, you don't need $10,000 worth of equipment. Like, the people I know who do this,
$200.
The cost of it is a box of bullets and like the same gun they've been using for a decade.
You don't need a good gun at all. Like I've killed deer with a black powder rifle. I've killed deer with bows.
Is a shotgun a good choice?
No. I mean, if you can get the deer within 50 yards and if you want to use buckshot, or if you're going to have now you need a special slug gun and a scope to go on your slug gun. And now why am I shooting a slug? Don't rifles do this, but way better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But
what you do is go buy, like, I would always go back to a Remington 700, something that's new in the box for like $500-$600. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't get a good scope, because you don't need a good scope. You're shooting 100 or 200 yards at the most. You know, two or $300 scope is going to be fine too, but you're killing a deer that weighs
$1,000.
Sure. And then you kill a deer that weighs 100 pounds, it dresses out to 50 pounds, and it costs you $150, $200 to get it dressed. And then, so you've got meat for $3 or $4 a pound, and you can just repeat that really quickly. Like, I would kill, I killed 40 deer almost one year, you know, just myself. And that's
License from the warden for that.
Statute of limitations. I'm like P. Diddy. I'm in the clips.
Dude, you're gonna call in from a bungalow in Honduras about this and be like, I'm sorry about those deers I killed.
I'll show you the ear chain I made. No, I killed like 35 that year. My dad allegedly killed like another 25 or 30. And, you know, you could kill a deer almost every day when we would go. If you're not getting that big, like, trophy buck. But if you're hunting for meat, man, it's just easy. It's just easy to do that. You could absolutely subsistence hunt. And it wouldn't be like some Davy Crockett shit where your main life's goal is like, I don't know, I got to kill a deer this week. It'd be like, yeah, the fridge is full. The freezer's full. Like the whole season we have meat for the next year and a half because I went hunting for 2 weeks.
That's always the problem with like deer hunters who do this meat thing is they end up giving dozens of pounds of sausage and, you know, backstrap or whatever to their friends and family because they get an industrial fridge for their fucking garage. And then three deer in, it's like, all right, well, there's just no possible way to fit more meat in here. And this is more than enough for the next 15 months.
I don't know, like, a deer hunting friend or a tomato growing friend, because a tomato growing friend is pretty good.
There's a lot of overlap in those friends. Like there's the kind of people who are like subsistence hunting probably also have a little garden. So that could add up.
I don't think you're allowed to sell venison, you know, that you've hunted and procured in the wild. Mm. I think any and all venison you're eating must be like a farmed deer, I would imagine. I don't know too much about the legality, but I'm sure it is because I know that I can't go, you know, kill a deer and sell its meat on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, and have it you must ever be gotten
tough to fence in a deer? Like I've made fun of the Indians 1,000 times for not inventing the fence. But Texas, you need to invent a tall fence for a deer.
Texas, you don't even need to like fence them in. Okay. Like if you're deer hunting around here, like you could be with some retard who misses badly and scares all the deer off. And like 35, 40 minutes later, a whole new crop of deer is going to be in that area because there's just so many of them wandering about.
Especially if you're in an area where there's any industrial farming going on, if there's 1,000 acres of soybeans, corn or wheat nearby, like that place is populated by deer. Mm-hmm. It's populated by lots of big, healthy deer, and they need to be thinned out. Like there's too many.
Mm-hmm. They pretty solid, you know, not as good as a cow because they're not as fatty, but
I like,
some people really dislike it. I don't mind it one bit.
We always did, what was it? I don't know. You'd like tenderize it with a hammer and like, eat it with gravy. What is that?
You do like a veal piccata. You'd get at an Italian restaurant kinda, or something.
Yeah. But anyway, it's real good. And if you really wanted to subsistence hunt, like you could do it and be fine. Like you would hit the snowball where all of a sudden you'd go from no food to too much food so fast. Mm. And then if you really wanted to, then you could sell that rifle back to
too.
You take that rifle back to the pawn shop, then you know what I mean.
Like you're on the struggle bus, and then suddenly your crops are coming in. You got all everything's great.
And if you're a real badass, you know, you get out the bow and arrow, and then you're only in for you know, pennies. Make your own bow and arrow, like a red man.
What do you think the easiest subsistence method is? Is it fishing? Is it farming? Is it?
It depends where you live.
Definitely not farming. Farming's much harder than fishing or hunting.
If you're by a lake. And you make one of those fish traps, like I was talking about, you know, you sling that thing out into the water every day with a big chunk of like, I don't even know what it was, some sort of corn bait or something. Oh my God. Like every night would be a fish fry for the whole group. Like there'd be a dozen fish in there.
Maybe every survival show I watch is not like that at all. They're out there freezing their ass off in cold water or something, going days between never catching anything until like, a clearly planted fish is found on the beach, practically still in the cellophane wrapping.
we would capture all. There was a pond that was going to be like bulldozed down and turned into farmland, and we went and caught all of the catfish out of it with one of those traps. That's how effective they were. We caught all of the catfish that were in the pond and took them to our pond, and we also like bought 1,100 catfish or something like that, and they just sort of
stocked it.
Dump them. Yeah. So we always.
My grandparents have a pond that they stocked probably 3 years ago because we used to do a lot when we were, you know, we used to do a lot more fishing at one of their ponds on their property. And the thing about catfish is they're like reptiles in that they will keep growing and growing and growing and growing as long as they have sufficient food. And so, like, we kind of like went 2+ years. After they stocked it without really doing much fishing in that pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to go do it last time I was there, just about a month or so back. And they were snapping every single line my grandpa had because they had grown so outrageously big that like he had to order like 12-pound line because some of these catfish are fucking absurd. Like they know, like they're like little stupid dogs. Like when he drives his gator with all the feed in the back of it to throw in that little, you know, that not a little pond, a pretty good sized pond. Like they all know the exact area that he throws it in. And so there's like teeming, you know, boiling, like they're freaking out, crazy. Excited for it. Yeah. And then you throw it all in there.
Is a carp a catfish? A tiger cat? They're different. Okay. Yeah, well, carp do that as well. They're the decorative carp, koi. You've probably seen those before. They do that as well. It's pretty neat. Like you said, they know you're there. They're very excited. They're splashing on the water. And
I've heard they're bad eats, whereas catfish are delicious eats. If you're not, you know, a picky bitch, and if you know the trick to it, which some people are like, oh, it tastes so fishy. You just soak it in cold salt water after you clean it for like an hour, and then you're solid. You're good. It gets rid of that fishy taste if that's a problem for you. But I love catfish. I could eat fried catfish every day. It would probably kill me, but I could eat it every day.
It's not that bad for you.
I mean, the fried part isn't great for you.
I bet you could prepare it in a way that's terrible for you.
You could steam it. You could steam it with lemon, like what you do trout.
Yeah.
No!
Petition to vote Kyle off the show.
But someone served me. Dude, sir, if I went to your house and you served me steamed catfish, there's fight. That's fighting words.
the whole catfish. Like it's no, we would do trout like that with like lemon and some herbs.
Of course,
and like put them in a little foil bag and throw them on the grill. And that's really fucking good. So I just imagine, I don't know if catfish would be as good if you had fillets in there like that and did the lemon thing.
It'd be fine, but it wouldn't be as good as, you know, a trout in that way. There's a reason you fry catfish. That's just the tastiest way to make it.
Because Southern people like fried food?
Yes. And my grandma makes the most spectacular fried chicken and fried catfish as a Southern woman.
Yeah.
So I gotta have it every time I'm there. She'll order like 10. She's keeping the QVC food department in business. She's ordering, we're there, down there for a day and a half. She's ordering cheesecakes. She ordered a fucking enough filet mignon from like some steak producer in Kansas City. And it's like, why are there's so many people around here? She's done that before.
Is your grandmother from Missouri?
Yeah, Southern Missouri. Yeah.
That's like parallel to New Jersey.
Irrelevant.
He's calling her a Southern woman several times.
It's below the Mason-Dixon line. They had slaves. So they fought on the right side.
No. The South, like, have you spent any time at all in like the boot heel of Missouri?
Just driving through. I've driven through it a few times, so no.
Oh, it is the South. Like they see themselves as the South. They talk like they're in the South. I've noticed they don't seem to care as much about the don't care as much about the Civil War as some of the Georgia, Alabama people. Just more the
more personal for us. You
it's
know?
More like, personal for you.
It was only 200 years ago, Taylor.
They still have the scorch marks.
Like Kyle sounds like a Yankee. I would imagine my grandparents probably sound similar to the way Kyle's dad talks, unless Kyle's dad has no accent also, which would be remarkable if you guys both dodged that.
We didn't either dodge it. I make an effort. You know, this is
I think Kyle's
I
father
speak.
Does too. Kyle's father sounds like Kyle to me. I imagine, I'm making this part up, that like Kyle, he could also fit in the Deep South if he wanted to. But when he talked to me, he sounded like me.
Yeah. Kyle goes around. He's like, yeehaw, gentlemen. Yeehaw.
I've seen Kyle around like true Southerners and it fits right. He can fit right in if he chooses to.
Yeah.
I just give him the droopy eye and just let him know I'm one of them.
He'll slow down a little bit.
You gotta slow down a little bit. They hate that. You start speaking really quickly, try to get a thought out real quickly. Look, I need you over here. I'm gonna be over here. You go up there with it. Whoa, slow down. Whoa, what's the hurry? Your pants on fire. It's like, dude, do you have a comprehension issue? Is this from the lead paint? Is this lead paint?
It must be.
It didn't
Several
just affect
generations
the black.
Ago.
Yes, it didn't just affect the blacks several generations ago.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. I just want to say, anybody's listening who that Arena Breakout Infinite game, the most poorly named game of all time, is legit really fucking
so good. Sounds like a Chinese named game.
It is.
Oh, Arena Breakout Infinite.
Infinite!
We add Gundams.
Kyle told me. He told me it was a copy of Escape from Tarkov. Okay, whatever. So I hop on Twitch and watch it played a little bit. Holy smokes, it's a copy. Like when you hit inventory in game, this is in the middle of a raid. Your character's health and his pockets and like his backpack and such are arranged on the screen in a particular way. they copied that. Like, you wouldn't know if you're new to the game, you wouldn't know which one you were in. It is a copy. And I'm like, yeah, it's,
you know,
go
to
on.
Be fair. Look, it is a copy. But that's mostly if you only play those two games and were existed in that vacuum, you would say copy. I do say it's a copy, but I think that a lot of games use that sort of grid inventory, helmet, vest, rig sort of thing. I think that's with becoming pockets the style.
In the same spot like that.
I don't know about that. The pockets is gamma. Pretty.
Do all games have a butthole storage?
No. They copied a lot. They really did, and good. Because fuck that Russian game. I'm in. Yeah. I'm with the Chinese now. Okay, the good guys. I really didn't like that bullshit they pulled with that $250 version, and they lied in the advertising and everything. And I didn't like the backpedaling and the Chinese apologies. That shit pissed me off. And here's the Chinese people with a free to play game. If they monetize it, I hear the way it's monetized on mobile is they sell you the Gamma container for $3 a month. And if you think about it, it's going to take a long time to get to like 20 months to get to $60. If I play this game for 20 months, I'm going to be happy with my $3 a month.
We pay about $140 for Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah, plus tax.
Wait, that would be the only thing you pay to do in the game?
I think that you can, if you wish, you can buy other things. You like currency, like in-game currency. But I wouldn't do that. And none of the streamers will do that. And so, like, it'll kind of be the not cool thing to do. And people will kind of give you shit if you do it, I bet. Like, it's good.
I might
part of it. Part of the fun. If you're just popping in. All right, let me say this about the game. This is a game with none of that RPG shit where like, Landmark's character at the end of a Tarkov wipe, where he plays 12 hours a day, sometimes 24 hours streams and shit, every day like a goddamn job. And he's really good. Like, you got to count that in, too. He's not a regular player. He's, like, the top 0.1% playing continuously every day. His character is like a juiced up professional athlete compared to yours. Mm-hmm. He can jump over walls that you wouldn't even look at. Yeah, like, you can jump over that? He's Super Mario Brothers all of a sudden. He can run faster at all of his skills.
Footsteps are quieter. He listens better.
He can hear farther.
Yeah.
He hears you coming before he can, just because he's listened more.
Yeah,
they got rid of all that shit. So in this game, you can jump right in as a complete noob level one. And that's the other thing. You have access to all of the guns and gear. There's a few things you've got to unlock, but right out of the bat, you can get a meta gun with a meta grip, with a meta scope, the best armor. You can get the best armor piercing ammo, all that shit right when you start the game. You know, the market is just open to go on, and the buying system and equipping system is also streamlined and quick. The healing system is so streamlined and quick.
There is some value in it to me to be able to pay to win. And the reason is this, like, the current version of me is the filthiest of filthy casuals. And if you're telling me for $3, I can play with Kyle all night, but not beg him for guns and health packs and food and stuff like that. Here's my $3, you know, that way I'm not a drain on the people I'd like to play with.
Yeah, it's the gunfighting reminds me a lot of PUBG, and it's squad based. Right now, it seems like you don't really have an option. You can't play solo.
Oh, okay.
You just kind of get mixed in with. It varies, I guess. I don't know how it varies, but sometimes I'll be with three people, and sometimes just one other person will pair me with.
It just assigns you randoms.
If you don't have your own party and you're just joining a lobby. Like, you might be alone, people with you. Yeah, I try to. I VoIP to them and stuff. Generally speaking, I would say most of the time they talk. Because, and a lot of them are Tarkov players. You'll hear them be like, "Scav over here." And I'll be like, "That guy knows." You know, like, it's mostly Tarkov people switching over, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Or at least people who are familiar with Tarkov. Because
is there friendly fire?
No. There's no friendly fire, and we've got name tags on our heads. That's the other thing that makes this fast and like, you push into a building and you can do these strats where we pincer people and stuff and do it full speed. There's no like, what kind of hat are you wearing again?
Right.
There's no pulling your sights up and like taking that extra 300 milliseconds to go safe. Ah. And like, you know, not team killing. All that shit's gone. It's a breath of fresh air.
Is there anyone new playing it, or is it like just a migration of Tarkov players? Like, is it like bringing in new?
I guess you can't know.
Oh, well, it's got its own. So Arena Breakout is one of the biggest mobile games in the world. So I'm sure any of those mobile gamers who are into that are obviously coming over to the PC version. I know that for sure because I run into Chinese people occasionally, he tried to pronounce my name, and I didn't laugh at him. I didn't VoIP the laugh, but it was funny. Clearly a Chinese. It was if a Pio Kyo. I was like, yes, random mash full of letters.
yes, pound sign at
tic-tac-toe game point. Halfway through. I'm interested to see how many people they gave away 100,000 beta keys really quick, and you see people clamoring for a beta key in all the stream chats.
If I wanted to play, I wouldn't necessarily be able to get in.
You wouldn't be at all able to play because there's no you'd have to wait until the next time Twitch is doing a beta key drop, and I don't think they're doing it anymore, but they might. And then you watch Landmark for an hour, and then it unlocks the game, and then 24 hours after that, you get access to the beta.
Steam process. Games that are there? These are Tarkov and this are Steam, right?
No. Tarkov's got its own launcher. Right now, this beta is in its own launcher, but I believe that it's going to be on Steam.
Is there a way to see the total number of players on? I was just curious if Tarkov had, 50,000 people online on average or 150,000.
Sometimes Nikita will talk about it. Okay. Usually when it's the storyline he'd like to tell.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Kyle was implying he lies about it, but that's possible too.
He's only going to tell you when things are going. He's going to today was a record breaking day. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Well, how was last Thursday?
Don't worry about it.
How was last Thursday around 9 a.m.?
Well, not as good as today. It wasn't record breaking.
Well, it wasn't quite a record breaking day.
There's a non-zero chance that day broke a record too.
Yeah, I really hope. I don't want bad things for Nikita, I guess, but it's like.
Why would you? He's just a video game guy.
Well, because he
did a bad business move and ruined his golden goose. Seems like he's getting his comeuppance here with this Chinese ripoff.
And I heard Landmark say this, and he's 100% right. For few years, several years ago, maybe 2019, 2020, Tarkov was the best game in the world. But they didn't know, the makers of Tarkov didn't understand what about their game made it great. And so they whittled away at the fun parts of the game in an effort to be more realistic because they thought people wanted a realistic, ultra realistic thing. And with changes like the inertia and the weight systems and their continuous struggle against the cheaters and their real money transactions led them to do things like if we're in the game and I kill you, Taylor, you're a bad guy on the other team or just playing on your own. And you've got a lot of your gear might've cost you 1 million rubles to create, to buy each of the pieces and assemble the rifle and put everything together, all the ammo and everything. When I take your shit out and I try to sell it, I don't get nearly that. There's this huge depreciation because I'm not allowed to sell those pieces on the flea market to other players to prevent cheating and real money transactions. In that moment right there, they made killing players almost worthless and a huge risk. They made the risk huge because I lose 1 million worth of shit, but the reward they whittled down to maybe a quarter of that. And now you're in a scenario where it's like, whoa, maybe I don't want to take this fight. I think I'm going to go the long way around at night and sneak around and just hit filing cabinets because I can do that and make way more money than getting in a fight with two people, which I'll die half the time at least. So this game did the opposite. Like, holy shit, the loot in the game is mostly kind of crappy. It's like, glue, 400 coin. I'm going to need more than that. But then you kill a player and his shit is legit worth, I don't know, 200,000 rubles, what he's got on.
Did they even steal the ruble part from it?
No, they call it coin with a K.
They didn't do like yen.
It would be funny if they called it. What are the
yen?
What are the coins called? There's Bitcoin.
No, it's not yen. It's yuan.
What's the yuan, other coin called, Kyle? The less valuable coin?
Ethereum.
It's in game and it's. I can't remember.
There's dollars and there's euros.
Dollars, euros, and of course there's Bitcoin, and then there's something else in game. Anton used to always tell to invest in them. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it.
It's like the only other big crypto coin I know is Ethereum.
Oh, yeah, the not the, I know what you're thinking. The GP coin.
Yeah. That's it. It'd be funny if they had GP coins because that's an invented Tarkov thing.
It might be a streamer. You know, so many of those Tarkov items are streamer. That's where Tarkov is brilliant, Taylor. Mm-hmm. They have this litter of bullshit in the game that you need to collect for any number of reasons. And so they give the streamers their own in-game items. So like there's a bottle of Landmark's rat poison. And because you call sneaky players rats or whatever, and so there it is, and it says Landmark's rat poison. It's like
one streamer really cool. Always wears a beanie. Cotton is his name, so Cotton's beanie is in the game. And
yeah, there's a beanie in the game. Yeah, for him.
Yeah,
his beanie.
Pastilli's mask. You know the is it
plague
called
mask?
Pestilence mask.
The plague mask.
Yeah. There's that there for Pastilli. There's a bunch of them, and I think that did two things. One, you know, look, everyone playing this game is kind of in the streamer universe, like, you know, they watch or they play, they're not unknown to them. Mm-hmm. And I think it gave the streamers a little more loyalty, and it gave the weaker streamers something to aspire to, you know. If you're a second tier streamer, someday you're hoping to get your in-game item.
Dude, I bet now is the moment for the second and third tier streamers in the Tarkov world, because if Landmark and all and Pastilli and all these guys are shifting over to
they have very different business models. So Pastilli's business model online is heavily based in the teaching of Tarkov. Landmark's business is heavily based in the playing of Tarkov. And it's a big difference, because that means that Pastilli does tons of very in-depth guides, and he does these in-depth long form series where he plays the game in a hardcore manner, for example, and tries to max the game out. Landmark doesn't do any of that shit. He just fucks people up. So he can fuck people up in another game and it's no skin off his knee or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But Pastilli would be leaving behind a catalog that he's no longer sending people to.
Pastilli's locked in on this game and its mechanisms specifically.
Well, he's also a wealthy man. So if he really wanted to, you know, he could do what he wants, and he could, I don't know that this game is going to have the in-depth sort of.
Have you seen what game Pastilli plays for fun when he's not doing Tarkov?
I've seen him play everything. I've seen him play Rust, AOE. Everybody bounces around. Yeah, he plays a lot of shit.
I watched part of his stream where he was playing AOE, and it was like, oh, this is fun. I want to play against Pastilli in Age of Empires, see if I can knock him out.
Yeah. I hope Tarkov dies. I hope that this game flourishes. And I hope that these Chinese people are cool about the monetization.
Honorable? Yeah.
I hope they're honorable. Okay. Okay. So far, I mean, it's like they got their finger on the pulse and they really know what people want. These gunfights are so goddamn fun. And the, the way
are you good at it yet? Like as good as you were at Tarkov?
Yeah. Like I'm rusty right now, but the controls are this fucking same. I got my foot pedals and, you know, I know how to shoot. So like shoot people in the head with an AK and they die.
What other games could you move like foot? Could you use foot pedals in any game at all?
Yeah. Oh, like Rainbow Six, if I wanted to play that. Any game with lean, I would want to use the pedals for that, just to get it off my mouse and off my keyboard and free some shit up for. It's nice to have my
board. Does your middle mouse wheel move side to side?
Yeah, but I would be kind of scared that I would inadvertently do a thing with it. It does, but I don't.
Oh my god, it does.
That's also
my preferred lean, but I'm not saying Kyle's wrong. Just that's what I like.
I had no idea.
The foot pedals are also kind of, I don't know, a different game mechanic. It's a kind of like get involved a little bit. It's kind of.
I have a dumb reason. I use my foot pedals for streaming stuff.
You know,
people being maybe they're. Oftentimes when I stream, they might say things about my children. So I had like a foot pedal that just canceled shit like that.
Fair. And
so.
Oh, it's like locked to chat.
It's the voice
to chat.
You
can kill TTDS.
Oh, voice to chat.
That's okay. Yeah. Am I saying TTS is what it's called? That's what I would kill.
Okay. Text speech.
I did not know that. I feel like I'd forget that there were.
I bet there's like something you'd like mapped really conveniently in your game. Like, because I know, like,
to pull up the map or something.
Actions per minute or actions per second. I don't know how they measure it is important in those games.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is a nice way to like zip to home. I don't know.
That would be good. Like I customed all my hotkeys. When you guys are playing like PC games, like the WASD setup, I know Kyle holds his hand like in normal home row instead of like I shift it have to the like right. I have like left or ring left. Finger on Q, middle finger W, index on D. Only for AOE. I go regular WASD for all the other games, just because Q is super important for a lot of hotkeys. Are you guys like, do you map stuff like way over there, like K and L?
Yeah.
OP?
Yeah. So
I can't do that because I would have to look down because I can't just jump all the way over there.
I use M and I use N, H, and Y. I don't usually go to UJ and M. But I can very easily grab Y, H, and N. Obviously,
I can reach it, but I don't feel confident in my ability to accurately smack Y.
I do
instead of hitting T.
I'm already there. My index is on F, and I'm just holding the home row, so I'm really close to going over there.
I guess I'm with you, Taylor. Like I think of myself. Maybe people would disagree. I'm pretty good at WASD, but. Mm-hmm. You know, after I throw a grenade, there's no guarantee we're going right back to WASD.
Yeah.
We might be.
Oh, wow. You know,
EF and G. Or
G is a reach for you. I see. See, that's.
Oh, no, I got G unlocked. Shift G is select all docs. I got to select all my.
No, I could do what I do. Shot. I use Shift T for a lot of stuff.
I hit control with like this part of my palm and I can WASD while holding that.
Ooh, scary. And
really?
Yeah, that's run or squat in a lot of games.
I use the flat part of my pinky for control.
Okay.
It's already over there. And then I curl my thumb in for alt. Anyway.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why, but you know, it's got that, I don't know what you call the nub that's on J and F on a standard keyboard, that knurling. Yeah. But I was like, wait, y'all aren't using the knurling? How do you fucking like? What do you like? Look down and plant your hand. And
I have rubber keys. Don't move. They feel different.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have those. Like, my WASD is also like raised, like on the front of the W and the side of the A and the side of the D.
Oh yeah, they have like
yeah, see,
yeah.
It has little wings on it, kind of. And so this Corsair keyboard came with those WASDs, and so I popped off the old ones and put these on and was like, yeah, I'm a fucking gamer now.
Not me. I went to Amazon and bought my rubber keys specifically so that I could find them again.
I want to be an elite gamer, and so I'm going to buy one of those orange rubber covers that they used in keyboarding class.
I remember
class.
This so well.
Remember them? So I can feel the tactile response of those when your finger touches and it slightly pulls it off of the key on the upstroke.
Were you on a keyboard or because I was on a typewriter?
We had like those IBM
mechanical typewriters,
like, keyboards, not a typewriter. It was those, I guess, gray.
Let me tell you, it is satisfying to operate a typewriter, a mechanical typewriter. That thing is stinging. If you can type, you type so fast.
This is with the blinds.
Yeah, I should. I'm a good typer.
I don't know what blinds are, but you know, it's got those hammers hammering the letters down.
But you're talking about the arms, the hammers, that kind of typewriter.
Yeah. But it's a big, but it's a mechanical one, so it's keyboard level press. You're not cha-ching, cha-ching, like pressing.
Okay, I'm so well aware of those. I was alive as we transitioned from those to the kind with the single ball that punched the thing.
Yeah.
Whoa, you were there for that?
I like that. But that's all my middle school had. And that's when I took typewriting. Yeah, that's what it would have been called. It wasn't even called keyboarding. It was called typewriting.
Oh, I had keyboarding. That
nah, you need a keyboard for that.
That 5 years of age difference between us is showing right there.
The poorness of my middle school as well. I also remember popping the floppy disks into the computer over there when we had enough time and playing those 8-bit games.
I loved the way to like do the final push of the floppy disk into it because it kind of clicked. And I always felt like it was like, yeah, this is like an important tech maneuver.
Like you're loading a magazine into a weapon almost.
And then you press that button and it pops it back out for you. We should go back to flop. How much space was on a floppy disk?
8 megabytes.
No, it was 1.44 megabytes.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's not a lot.
is there nothing that's 8 on them? Why don't I have the number 8 in mind?
Let me Google it. We're talking about the 3.5-inch floppy disk that's actually plastic. Yeah.
Because we had to bring them to class. We had to write our names on them because they were teaching us how to like save files.
We were on disks, not like before for that. When I took computer applications in the 10th grade.
It's 1.44. There was a brief period where they like double capacity it to 2.8. Maybe you think
maybe a modern one could hold very little information.
Do you remember like sliding that little window and then letting go and letting it snap?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Shouldn't do that.
Really?
I mean, that's. The, I mean, I'm guessing it's just so like terrible. When you slide that window, you see the disc that's being read and written. So it seems like a bad idea to fuck with that. Disc. I remember I made this big video project, and then like OCD fucking me was like playing with the tape. It was 16 millimeter tape, and I ruined the whole video. It, days of filming stuff. We made our own Jackass video. It was very upsetting. It was very upsetting.
Yeah.
That was it was ninth
grade.
I'd
hate to recreate the stunts.
Well, that wasn't happening. Nobody wanted to come back for that. You couldn't get unpaid.
Come on, Larry, you got one testicle left.
Yeah.
To film this again.
Yeah, we were electrocuting each other and shit in the backyard.
Did you ever rewatch your Jackass tapes?
Well, no, I ruined it. Yeah. I ruined it by touching the fucking film.
One try and you were done.
Well, I mean, it was for a school project. It wasn't my camera. Oh. It was a teacher's camera.
I broke the camera too. Doing that. Oh,
yeah, she was very upset. Ruffian. I don't think I broke it. It got broke somehow, and I remember thinking, "This isn't my fault." like this is on her. I genuinely don't remember the circumstances, but I didn't feel guilty. I was only afraid that I would be falsely blamed. I remember that being like the feeling at the time. Like so, maybe somebody else did it, or I think when I returned it, it was good. It was like, look, like we were recording with this yesterday. It's good. I gave it to you, and now you're saying it's bad. Like days later, without checking it, right after I gave it to you. I didn't think it was something like that, but it doesn't matter.
That with rental cars, where I return a rental car with a scratch, but I know in my heart it must have been there when they gave me that car. Like I would have noticed. You know, I wasn't here for that scratch. I didn't do it. I didn't touch anything. You know, if you hit something with your car.
You know they've been hitting Tesla rentals for not filling up their gas tank on the return.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's a regular thing.
What company?
I don't remember which company, but one of the major ones. There's only like three, right?
I know. Yeah, Hertz has a lot Enterprise. To do with Tesla.
It
must
heard
be
that
a pain to do it. Like it's one thing to stop by the airport on your way in and fill it with overpriced gas. It's another to like allocate 45
I don't
minutes.
Think they want that like they're just hitting them with the gasoline fee because like for they're saying 40 gallons slack. You're missing 40 gallons of fuel here.
Holy smokes.
We would have got in trouble trying to pull that. I remember Amy used to put prepaid fuel on fucking everybody's car and then they'd come back with it full up and they'd be like, why is there a charge for $52? And I'd be like looking at the contract and I'd be like, Amy, you bitch. And I'd have to go in there and remove it. But at that point, she got credit for the sale anyway. The sale that we weren't getting fucking paid for. Like,
so
why?
They like, I've talked about it before. I learned in this management course how you get what you incentivize, right? If they give you a piece of insurance, a piece of prepaid gas like that, they probably sell a lot more of it. Instead, they just ask you and nag you, but they don't pay you. They're not getting what they want.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It wouldn't have to be a lot. If I give you $1 for every freaking $20 insurance package you sold, you'd probably go for that extra like $30 a day.
It's the interview in office space is what you're describing. You are not incentivized to do any more than the bare minimum to not get fired.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
Jeff said before my area manager like took me aside at one point and was like, Taylor, your sales are really rough. And I was like, interesting. but I'd be like, but look at the contract totals.
Is that hard for you?
65 just today, firing through them. You know, so I'm keeping our customer score high. Keeping
with car sales, I had just the opposite experience because every bit of it is incentivized. Like everywhere it's incentivized. I get paid on what the insurance on what the financing stuff. So I'm incentivized to set them up, you know, going into there and to work as a team member with this guy because I get a piece of his cut. I get paid for it. If I get 10 cars sold instead of 9, oh my God, that's like an extra $2,000 almost. If I get 20 cars instead of 19, it's like $5,000 more sometimes. It's a huge bonus. You're getting paid like 5% extra on everything else you've done the month. Earlier
I worked in tech support early in my career. This is a computer software tech support. And we had four bonuses. They were each worth $100 to us, which was more in like 1995. And they were all group bonuses. Nothing. Zero was an individual bonus. So if you're stuck on some accounting question and you want to like bump it off me, it's in both of our interests for you to get this thing solved quickly. One of the bonuses was for the percentage of calls closed on the first call in, right? Customers really like having their questions answered this on their first call. They hate it when they have to call back or you need to research or whatever. And then on our side, if we answered on the first call, it takes us like 8 minutes to solve a problem. If it's not solved on the first call, that shit goes for duration for days, but in human time, it can go hours. We play phone tag and shit. So they would bonus us for closing stuff on the first call. And if you're like, let me put you on hold, and then you ask me a question and I know the answer, I'm incentivized to give it to you mm-hmm. and to help you hit your goals. And like, they're all team-based goals. I don't know why I said your goals. To help us hit our goals.
They just didn't have realistic goals there. Where like, it'd be like what Kyle's saying with the car sales, except it'd be like, hey, Kyle, you don't get any, how about this? You sell cars, but you don't get any money from any of them until you sell 70 in the month. And then everything after that, you know,
the dealership only sells 350.
Yeah. That's why you're going to have to really work at it to get to the, like the only time, God. Like I would go, I'd be fucking, I'd be Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. As soon as my manager, Tim, would every once in a while be like, sales are terrible. First person to sell 8 of these insurance packages in this combination today gets to go home. And suddenly I'm
Gordon Gekko over there.
Yeah, I was fucking Gordon Gekko making sales. I was leaving after like an hour and a half of that. It was awesome. But then that's he hilarious. Had to change that because the area manager found out. He's like, you're just letting them go home and then like having someone else clock them out 9 hours later if they hit the sales. You can't do that. Oh, they talk about time theft. I was fucking, me and my team there at that airport, time thieves, absolute time thieves. And it didn't matter. It'd be like, well, there were some people who we wouldn't clock in for after a while because they would. And when I say like time thief, I'm kind of being dramatic. It'd be like, hey, is Steve going to be here? And it's like, yeah, Steve, he's actually showing up in 2 minutes, you know, but he's going to get in 2 minutes late. So, you know, just clock it in for him. There was one guy who abused that system so bad that like eventually no one could like clock each other in at all. They had like a camera in there. And this dude would be like, he'd call ahead and be like, hey, clock me in. I'm pulling in. And like someone would clock him in because we trusted. You know, this is what all the rest of us did. Hey, I'm walking in from the lot right now, and I'm going to start on the return lane. The
he's
reason
still
like,
in bed as he's making
he
this
would
call.
Literally like he just wouldn't show up. He'd be like
Miami.
Hours later. He's in yeah. That was a.
I did that in high school. Just in my high school, you get detention if you came like even 1 minute late. You had a 45-minute detention. But my dumbass eventually figured out, you know, if you're an hour late, you also get a 45-minute detention. I can make this work for me.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd be like in the hallway hearing the bell go off because I was 20 seconds late for class. Just turn back around, go to my bike.
Dude, this one, that same guy who was always like stealing time and lying, ruining that system for the rest of us. A system based on trust, you know, when I call my manager, you know, from the return lane and I'm like, or if on my cell phone walking in, I'm like, I'm here, clock me in. It was to save me, you know, the 5 minutes to walk all the way in and then all the way back out. This guy was like stealing hours of time, which nobody else did. And he also was like selling weed at the airport, which is like,
is that extra dangerous?
I need somebody to buy weed at the airport. Every time I'm like flying out and I've got all that legal weed from Colorado.
Now,
I
maybe, need a dude. Maybe once or twice I bought weed from him at the airport. But once or twice, maybe.
Yeah, just a couple
as
a times.
Joke, just as a joke for the show.
Allegedly.
Didn't do it all the time. Constantly. No. But he would. No, but
I'd have flown there for it.
Are there extra laws at the air? Like for example, mailing weed.
Less
is,
laws. No.
Is oddly bad, you know, like apparently selling it at a fucking mall is one thing and mailing it is 1,000 times worse for reasons I don't understand. Is the airport extra bad?
I don't think it actually, like, I never thought it was like bad what he was doing because like
I don't know
it was
bad to
thought it was bad because like he was having people like drive to the airport while he's working so that he can like go out to the return, not to, to like the pickup, like taxi spot, and then like give them weed and then come right back in. And it's like, this is just like, you're at work, like, and you're moonlighting as a drug dealer. And that's no wonder you're taking so long.
You sound like you envy his
ambition.
I wonder what he's up to.
Hustlers.
Dude, he used to lie on contracts so bad that in a way that would make even Amy blush.
But that's a great way to sell drugs, because TSA doesn't fuck with marijuana. They won't even like, I wouldn't try it, but from what I understand, if you were flying from one legal state to like through a non-legal state, like nobody's going to take your weed. Nobody's going to fuck with your drugs. Like they're not going to.
TSA is not upset about that?
Not in the slightest. They're looking for bombs. So, and I don't even think the drug sniffing, I don't think they have drug dogs anymore. They got bomb dogs.
The rental area is like,
if they had drug dogs, I'd have been detected several times just because I'm blazed as I walk in there. Just if I'm flying out of a legal state, oh my God, when I get to that airport, I'm in the parking lot, like the satellite parking lot, just smoking every drop of everybody's drugs because I always fly out last. So I've pooled everyone's drugs and I'm in that parking lot just.
That's rolling. Not one even out. Enjoyable, Kyle.
I'm taking all the edibles.
It's terrible. Not. One of my friends.
I've never had DMT, LSD, and cannabis at the same time.
It's all weed.
I was talking to a friend of mine just recently, and he has to fly to New York pretty often for work, and he was like, you know, I wanted to be high in the airport, and so I took a bunch of edibles, like what Kyle was saying, and smoked my little disposable vape pen a bunch of times before I threw it out, before I, you know, went through security on the plane. And he's like, I got like to the very front of security and I realized I'm in New York and like I'm visibly like phasing through walls level high and I have to take my jacket off. And it's then that I realize I'm wearing the Trump mugshot t-shirt. And he's like, and I was so high, I thought people were going to be mad at me for wearing that. And so I walked through and I was just so stoned. I started walking through the metal detector and it went off. And I was like, oh no. And the TSA guy goes, hey, I need you to, take your belt off. Here, give me your belt. And I was so stoned, I looked at him through my bloodshot eyes and I was like, to keep? And he was like, no, man, just to put it on the slide so you can get it on the other side. He's like, oh, okay. And so
it's great.
This is someone who flies all the time. And I was like, yeah, that's a level of high at the airport that I wouldn't want.
It's a little rough because you've got to master yourself a little bit when you're about to. I remember approaching the metal detector and going through this like checklist the way you would if you had a child with you. All right, you're gonna get to there and you're gonna grab a basket. Don't snatch it. If some like going through the steps in my mind and creating a checklist and just trying to like don't make eye contact, but don't avoid eye contact. I'm just like, smile, have a little act like you're having a little joke to yourself as you do this.
That's hilarious.
When's the last time I blinked?
Because I've went through TSA so goddamn high that it was difficult. It was like hard to go through the process of shoes, belt,
I've like held my breath walking past the drug dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been so stinky going past that drug dog, like reeking of weed and being like,
it's like, I have no weed on me. There's nothing they could even get me for. There's nothing in my bag. But like,
they have cute dogs that are
just vaped weed at home before I came. Oh, I better hold my breath.
They'll have like some, I don't know, some cute ass dog. It's not even a Labrador or a German Shepherd or something. It's just like a pretty dog, like a Brittany or something, or like a bird dog. I always imagine that those are the bomb dogs for some reason, because I guess they. Like that dog doesn't bite people. I think of the ones that bite people as the drug dogs.
They're always German Shepherds, I feel like.
Belgian Malinois.
Airport. You're familiar with those.
Yeah, those are mean dogs.
That's what Dak was.
Yeah.
Well, they're maybe not mean dogs, but Dak was a little ornery to you. All right.
Well, you know, they're like prey high prey drive working dogs that have the tools to destroy. So the they're mean isn't an inaccurate
pit bull. I feel like that dog's right there with them.
It's very similar. Yeah. I mean, that dog was.
Yeah, it doesn't commit like the vast majority of like child murders in the dog world.
Only because their numbers are lower. If there were more Belgian Malamars, maybe they'd.
Malamars.
More Belgian.
You know, they might be called that. Hey, what's to say?
You can't resist the Belgian Malamar.
They're delicious.
I bet the Belgian would make a good Malamar. Sure. Chocolate.
Chocolate? Milky Nougat?
What is it really that called? Chew. I can't.
Malamars. Malinois.
Yeah.
Malinois.
Yeah. No, there's no type of dog worse than the pit bull. They should be made illegal. They should they're mean to all the other dogs. Get rid of them. No
Did
more.
Did you see that Chael Sonnen is going to fight Anderson Silva? They're going to box.
Oh, no.
They're both retired, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And
not all that far out of the look, time flies, so maybe I'm crazy, but it feels like maybe 2 years ago when Izzy was fighting. How long ago did Izzy fight Anderson Silva?
I didn't let you finish before. Yeah. I thought you were saying when Chael retired. Yeah. So, but I can look up Izzy very quickly.
Izzy took it really easy on Anderson in their fight, I thought, because he has so much respect for him. He could have probably taken him out. But even still, I didn't think Anderson Silva looked.
That was 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Never mind. My money, look, Chael beat the shit out of Anderson for like 4 minutes and
four rounds.
Four rounds and most of that other one. He was doing a lot of wrestling. I don't know. Chael looks big to me and strong. Like he's always working out. And I see him with a mouse under his eye every now and then.
And he talks about his workouts a lot too.
Or he'll have like friction burn on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chael
practiced. Yeah.
He trains. It's like he doesn't know any other lifestyle. So he's not gone total sedentary. We're there. I don't think Anderson has either. How old is he? Is he 45? He's 45. Much heavier and he hasn't looked good for a long time. Like his last three or four fights, he was kind of just a clotting fat version of Chael Sonnen.
I didn't really watch his Bellator stuff with he fought maybe Matt Mitrione. He lost to Fedor. He lost to Tito over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Man, I always want bad things to Tito.
It was funny when he talked about it. He's like, I guess that makes me the worst fighter on earth because Tito Ortiz is the worst fighter on earth and he beat me. So now it's me.
that's a pretty good line.
So the only guys he beat there were Silva and Jackson, two other washed up fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost.
The other huge.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the other huge fight with Tyson and Paul. I saw that press conference the other day. You know, it's where the fighters sit at the adjoining table and you got the guy in the middle talking shit and they're answering questions from the crowd. I don't know how it got to this weird place, but
yes, I know.
Jake Paul was like, I'm looking at Mike right now and I want to kiss his big juicy lips. And Mike goes, I saw a video of you when you were 16 and it got me hard.
Yeah, he was doing a tick. He's like, you were doing a TikTok dance, and it gave me an erection.
Like nobody really knew. I wish I could do a
Tyson. Impression.
The ultimate trash talk.
Yeah,
no, everyone's befuddled and uncomfortable.
Don't you just think it's true? Like,
nah, I don't.
It's probably
Mike Tyson gets hard
in my head. That seemed intimidating.
He threatens to rape people. It's a thing he does.
Yeah,
not rape. I'm not saying that.
No,
the jury did though.
No, they would never say that about Mike.
They literally did. He's convicted rapist. I don't think he did it.
You don't think he did?
I genuinely
you think
don't
him and Michael Jackson were playing fucking pinochle?
Look,
you know, innocently.
Stop going. You can, potatoes. Oh, that's my new one. I like that. No, it's I don't think it's the same thing. I genuinely don't think Mike raped that lady. But I do think that I'm wishy-washy on Michael Jackson too, if I'm being honest. I know R. Kelly did that shit because we saw it when we were in high school. When I was in high school, we were watching him pee on little girls. Okay. They were our age, so it was legal.
Mm-hmm. We're like, he just was in public for 20 years after that.
Chappelle was making jokes about it. He made a music video about R. Kelly's child abuse.
And now R. Kelly is, how long's R. Kelly in jail?
Oh, like the whole time.
Oh,
they're like, take it all. I think they put him away. Okay. I think R. Kelly's done.
What about Diddy? Is Diddy gonna? He's not in jail right now.
He's got statute of limitations on that Cassie ass whooping he threw that we saw. And here's my theory on this. So I don't know shit about hip hop or hip hop community. So I don't know who the fuck Cassie was, but it rang a bell. Cassie is the one who popped up like 6 months ago, and we heard that P. Diddy was paying her $30 million to shut up. And it was like, oh, that's weird. Okay. So, cause she was like going to write a book, and she was like, you buy my book for 30 million or else. It was something like that happened, and it was public that it had happened. So now all of a sudden the video, after he has been outed for all of the crazy shit that's been going on the last few weeks, and he's already fled to somewhere non-extraditable. Suddenly there's a video of Cassie getting the shit beaten out of her at a hotel by P. Diddy. And it's like, maybe that's what she was holding. Maybe she had that. And now that his ass is in the wind with everybody, her team feels that it's safe enough to leak it to CNN. Cause that's what happened. It got leaked to CNN by somebody, but somebody's had that tape for, I don't know how old that is, but it's past the statute of limitations. So at least 5 years old, maybe older. And did you see the video, Woody, of P. Diddy beating that girl up?
I did, yeah.
I did.
Inexcusable. Not. Oh man, you should watch it, because it's, I always joke with the Chris Brown thing, and it's funny. Bill Burr's got the whole routine about it, where it's like, man, I'd like to know the whole backstory. I don't like that he hit her. That's not cool. I like her a lot. But what happened? I'm curious, because that's crazy that one time he popped off and beat the shit out of that beautiful woman. Like, she must have said some crazy shit, huh?
Like, yeah, he's like, there's no way. She just had her apron on, pulling fresh cookies out of the oven. Honey, they're done. And then he beats the shit out of her.
Like, that didn't happen. So, but then you see this P. Diddy thing. And you can put the scenario together in your mind. There's no audio.
Yeah.
There's no audio, but it's very clear that she waited until he got in the shower and was like, I gotta get away. Now I can make my break for it. And she grabbed her fucking bag and she ran out of that room, and she was to the elevators, punching the button like in a goddamn movie. And this maniac comes storming out of the room in nothing but a fucking towel all the way down the fucking hallway. Grabs her ass, hits her in the head, slams her to the ground, karate kicks her a couple times in the ass while I'm sure he's berating her. And then there's a part where he like throws a vase at her or some shit. It's wild. Yeah.
Holy shit, look at this tech.
I didn't know we could do this. It's pretty awful. There's no excuse for that. I did joke. I went through all that with somebody last night, and I was like, but what if that bag was full of $1 million worth of his money and she was robbing him? What if we find out that's the contact? But then he tweeted out, what I did was inexcusable. I am so sorry. And it's like, dude, you can't apologize for beating a woman in a hotel. Like,
really? I thought his apology was pitch perfect.
That'd be like OJ apologizing. Like, we're beyond apologies, dude. Like you just fucking don't say anything.
Yeah, you can't behave that way.
Deep fake that. Say, that's a deep fake. That is a deep fake. Really? I'd have my team making a different deep fake of like Ronald Reagan beating Cassie up.
There were no excuses, like
Michael Jordan beating Cassie
up. No explanations.
I'd be dropping those left and right.
Second guess his sincerity. It was 100%. I am sorry. I am embarrassed. That is terrible. There is no excuse for it. Like, that was the tone of it. And I'm like, I think he nailed it as far as apologies go.
Yeah, but it's no good.
Yeah,
we don't accept those here, sir. I'm sorry, you beat the shit out of a woman mercilessly who was clearly doing nothing but trying to escape you.
Yeah, you think that was the one time he did that?
No, like, that's what he did. That's what he does in the hallways of public hotels.
Yeah,
that's what he does in the hallways of public hotels. And what does he do when he's like in his house, surrounded by his people, where he's the law? Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you can't even imagine. Like, that's what he's doing in the fucking elevator section of a Marriott, where anyone can walk out at any time and he has no fear.
No one sees the blame in her. No one accuses her of being a terrible, terrible ninja. Like, I could escape. I could wait till a man's in the shower and get out.
If she'd worn practical shoes, she could have hit those stairs and she'd have been gone.
If some prankster hadn't like hit all the buttons on the on the elevator, like, she'd have been home free.
It is weird to me that she... If you're not chained, you know, in your captivity, that you can't get away. But I,
she clearly tried.
And she had the right idea with the shower. He didn't look wet yet.
Yeah, she needed to wait until she heard it turn on and then get to hustling.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, I just can't, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable leaving. Like, it's gauche and unacceptable to be walking around a hotel in a towel. Like, that's how public a space it is. Like,
yeah,
there are kids out there. There's other families. Like, that's ridiculous. Put clothes on.
I like those videos where they fuck in the hallways. You ever see this porno? So they, you know, go out in the hallway and have
sex. Well, I'm sure that those videos, like, beforehand, they're like, you know, third floor, you know.
Nah, they get caught sometimes. I saw one. They get caught. And then she blows, like, the fucking, like, lobby. Then he kicks
her in the ass. Yeah.
Well. I mean. He mercilessly kicks her twice in the ass while berating her.
That's like a the ass kicks were just so in anger. All of it, the vase throwing was also in anger, but the ass kicks. It's
was
just
there any part of that that was done with joy?
No.
I guess the whole thing was done in anger. But yeah, he's screwed. I don't think anybody's gonna take his side now.
No, I heard Peloton, you know, dropped him.
Stuff's coming out. Was so, Peloton? Were they sponsoring it?
No more of his classes. No more of their classes will feature P. Diddy's music. So. It's kind of over for him now.
Well, he's fucked now.
Yeah. No, well, I think it'll be fine. People will still listen to that. He should rap about it. He should have owned it. And again, I'd have been, he's a billionaire. Or close to it. I would
take that chain off.
See, now that P. Diddy's doing stuff like this, Kanye is looking like a pretty chill dude. Pretty chill guy. If you just get him past, like, it's like, Kanye, I'd love to ask you about, like, fame and fortune and money, but it's music, but the Jew thing.
It's Hanukkah,
just constant, man. I get it. You don't have to keep harping. But, you know.
I want to hear his thoughts on the Israel-Palestine situation. Can you believe he hasn't said anything?
I bet it would catch us off guard. It would be something where he's like, that is Israel's ancestral homeland. And as a black man, one of the true Jews, you know, these European, these whites, they come in there, they pretend to be Jews, and they're trying to take back homeland that is the Jewish homeland. But the
where they should,
Jews
but his take
black.
Is that's where they should all be. Every Jew needs to be found, rooted out. Like, he wants them all
from the river to the sea should be all Jews.
Yeah, I could see him writing he could write a hook around that. From the river to the sea, song? Like that. Yeah, he could write a song about it. I feel like his take would take us by surprise. It would be something about, because hasn't, or maybe I'm making it up, and like superimposing black Israelites on top of him. Like, because black Israelites are the ones who are like, we are the true Jews, not these white devils.
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't know if he doesn't even know about that, because he's like just Southern Baptist religious. I mean, he'll go on about being Jesus, but I think he's just like a Southern Baptist religious wise.
Oh, I didn't know what his religion was.
He talks about Jesus and God a lot.
I did know he made an album about Jesus, and I know he's.
Oh, that's Jesus. That's
Jesus. Okay, well then, didn't he make an album called like Jesus is King or Christ is King or
Jesus Walks? Maybe
that's a really old one. I thought there was a new. I only hear his music when it like pops up on a YouTube playlist.
When you're at a rally.
When I'm at a Kanye rally, yeah.
I can't believe the far right didn't like. Grasp onto Kanye's music as like, let, because I mean, their music sucks.
They don't like him because he's black.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I don't know any far right music.
A remote possibility. They like Twisted Sister.
I'll turn you on to some good stuff.
Twisted Sister doesn't like him. That We're Not Gonna Take It song. They used to play that all the time until Twisted Sister's like, I'm talking about not taking it from people like you.
We're a famous band, so we're also fucking shit libs. So stop singing our song.
That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah,
they've got like, Kid Rock,
like Rage Against the Machine. All their like public interviews are, their band should be called Do What You're Told. But like they're just, you know, they get vaccinated and do what the government says. Rock on. It's like you're so fucking gay, dude. Yeah. Anyway, you guys want to call it a show?
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna get something to eat.
Same.
PKN 509. Get my protein.